John chapter 3. When you begin reading with the 17th verse, 17 and 18 will be somewhat review, and then we'll go down and read down through verse 21. So as we look here in John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 17. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that lights come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Please, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come, read your precious word, just some very clear, very simple lessons to learn today. Please, that everyone here will have their ears turned to you, that they'll listen, that the Holy Spirit can convict our hearts and speak to our hearts. Please today, those who do not know you as their Savior, that today will be the day that they'll come. They'll recognize who they are and what they need. And they are a sinner and they need you, Lord Jesus. And so please today that take place and they accept you and they believe and ask you to come into your heart and have that personal relationship. And Father, for those that are saved and been saved, and maybe for a short time, maybe for many years, there's always something to learn and to know and to hear and to receive. Please today that we all listen very carefully to your precious word as we go through these beautiful lessons that you've given us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure that Nicodemus didn't think that there was anything here to learn. I don't know that Nicodemus was a college man. He'd been to seminary. Nicodemus knew it all. He knew it all. But we find here that the Lord Jesus knew that Nicodemus was missing the greatest of all gifts, and that was salvation. Nicodemus didn't understand that he needed to be born again, even though he was so religious. And so the Lord Jesus, knowing the heart of Nicodemus, began to tell him of his word. You must be born again. He began to teach him heavenly things. And his question in an earlier verse was that, I tell you earthly things and you don't understand that. How will you understand heavenly things? And the purpose was to help Nicodemus realize that he was not the smart man that he thought he was. He needed Jesus. And we need to bring ourselves, humble ourselves, and bring ourselves down to a place where we recognize who we are, who God is, and what we need. And we need the Lord Jesus. And Jesus' purpose with Nicodemus was just to do that. Nicodemus was very familiar with the Word of God. He knew that the judge, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, would come and would condemn and convict and destroy all evil that was on this earth. He knew that was coming. But what he had missed was the greatest need that he had and all mankind has, and that is dealing with our sin, not with some ruler that was over us. He wanted a king to come. He wanted the Lord of Lords to come, but not to save him from his sin, but save him from Rome. And a lot of times that's the reason people come to church. Because they know there's something missing and they know they need something. And that was Nicodemus. Even though he knew it all, he still knew there was something missing. And he came to Jesus to find it. What a wonderful place to come. And he found what he was looking for. But Nicodemus, again, was not looking for someone to take care of his sin. But that's what he found when he arrived. Now, we look at verse 18 here. Jesus continues to teach Nicodemus, continues through his word to teach us. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Now, I hope, because we talked about this last week, but I hope that you have circled the word is. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Is not condemned. Circle that. Is not condemned. And especially that word is, because we have the same thing in the last half of that 18th verse where it tells us, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Not going to be condemned, but is condemned. So you see, the difference is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you come by faith to the Lord Jesus? Do you have that personal relationship with Jesus? Because it is your one position or the other. You're either not condemned, right here and now, not condemned, no question. What a wonderful verse of Scripture that confirms eternal security. If you believe, you are not condemned, not now, is not condemned, but he that believeth not. You don't have to wait for the judgment, because you are condemned already. Condemned already. Keep those words in mind as we continue to look at these verses of Scripture. Because as we look at this 18th verse, again, believe not, lost, condemned, the wrath of God abides upon you if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. This gift of salvation, all you need to do is ask him to come into your heart and save you. Open your heart. Listen to him. Listen to him. As the Spirit speaks to your heart this morning, that you can come by faith to Jesus and be saved. He gives you the faith. He gives you the plan. He gives you the ability. He gives you everything. All you need to do is listen. Listen. One-on-one, listen. Just listen to what he has to say. Again, the greatest sin ever committed is the sin of unbelief. That's the only one. That's the only one that makes the difference between you going from heaven to the presence of Jesus and living with him, being not condemned, to being condemned, is not believing. Unbelief means everlasting hell. Everlasting hell. Please come to the Lord Jesus. Now, as we look at the 19th verse, and again, I said in the opening prayer that the lessons this morning is very clear and it's very simple. We need to understand how simple it is to be saved, and at the same time, how simple it is to be damned. One decision, and that's Jesus. Verse 19, the Lord Jesus himself goes through it once again. This is the condemnation. Now, I have written 1, 2, and 3 here because there are three parts to this 19th verse. The first part of it is, this is the condemnation. That's a statement. The second is, the light has come into the world. And the third is, men love darkness rather than light. Three points that are made in this scripture verse. Very plain, very clear. This scripture verse was directed mostly to the Jews, but it definitely applies to all. But it was given specifically at this time to the Jews, but don't think it that you can disregard what it has to say, because it does come to you. Why was it specifically stated to and against the Jews? It's because they had the light. The Gentiles didn't have it. The Jews had the light. The Jews had the Word of God. The Jews had the five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy had those. The Jews had the prophet Isaiah. The Jews had Ezekiel. The Jews had Daniel. The Jews had the Old Testament Scripture. There were 400 years of silence between the last book that was written, Malachi, and Matthew when Jesus came to live here on earth. 400 years of silence. But during those 400 years, even though the Word was silenced in any prophecy, they still possessed the Word of God. And for that 400 years, they should have been studying the Word of God. They should have been knowing the Word of God. And Nicodemus did. He knew the Word of God. Why had he missed the Lord Jesus? Why did he not know that the man he's talking to is the Messiah, the Savior? Why didn't he know that? They had so much light. They had so much of God's Word that was so plainly revealing the coming of the Messiah. And yet Nicodemus missed it. Nicodemus missed it. When Jesus come, different than man, Satan had been studying. He knew the Messiah was coming. He knew the Savior of all the world was coming. And he knew when Jesus was born, this is the Messiah. So the devil had to do everything he could do to stop what was going to happen. And that was Jesus dying on the cross. If I can kill him ahead of time. If I can keep him off of the cross. Anything to keep him away from the plan. That was the devil's purpose. Also the devil's plan, the devil's purpose is to keep people in the dark. So what he did, he began to take away the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Put doubt in people's minds that this is not. You're looking for a king. You're looking for a Lord of Lords. You're looking for someone that's going to come and sit on the throne and save you from Rome. That's who you're looking for. That was what the devil kept whispering in the ears of everybody. And what they didn't see and what they missed, this is the Messiah. Here's the Savior. The devil did that. The devil blinded their eyes so they didn't see. So they didn't see. Listen carefully here. Man is lost not because there isn't sufficient or enough light, but because they love to do the things their own way. There is sufficient light for all to get saved. No one is kept in the dark and not had the light of the Lord Jesus. Any man that's ever lived or ever will live has sufficient light for salvation. So you see, it's not because it's a lack of light. It's a desire to do what man wants to do. I want to do my own thing. I don't mind being a little religious, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it God's way. Now, that started very early, because I think there was a man named Cain that chose at that time, 6,000 years ago, to do it his own way. He brought his offering unto God. So he was religious. He brought his offering. But what did he bring? His own thing. He didn't bring what God had commanded him to bring. Well, he said, this is what you have to bring. Abel did. Abel brought the blood sacrifice. Picture of Jesus coming to the cross some 4,000 years later. But Cain didn't see any reason to do that. I worship God. I praise God. I'm going to come and bring my offering. He brought his best. But he didn't bring what God commanded. And that's the problem today with religion. Religion's man's way. The very first here in verse 19, this is the condemnation. All right. This is the condemnation. Why is man condemned? The first thought that you would have, I'm sure, is that, well, we're born in sin. No, my friend, you're condemned because you reject the light. God gave enough light to all the world to see. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. Why are you condemned? Because you reject the light. You reject the light. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. The light. God gives man a choice. Accept the light or reject the light. Not condemned because you believe, or condemned already because you refuse to believe. You refuse to accept that light. This light of the world, the second part. So the condemnation is because you reject the light. When you face the Lord Jesus at the judgment seat, and the statement's made, you're condemned already. The first statement out of our Lord's mouth is going to be, because you refused me. Every individual has the chance of salvation, and yet they ignore it or reject it or set aside or find another way. I am the light of the world, the scripture says here. The light has come into the world. I am the light of the world. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Beautiful verses of scripture, just a couple pages over. John chapter 8. Verses 12 and 13. John chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And look what the Pharisees said to that response of the words of the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. The light was standing right before them. They had the light, and they didn't believe it. Why are they condemned? Because they rejected the light. God has given the opportunity to everyone for salvation. These verses of Scripture here in John chapter 8, verses 12 and 13... Our Lord Jesus is really come together, and back in John chapter 3, the same. It is twofold. When he was standing there before them, he was the light of the world as he was here on earth. But also is his gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection, that is the light that we have today. The brightest light ever. Yes, he was the light when he was there, when he was here on earth. But today, he is our light. So please, listen, look to that light. The gospel is that light. The word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we need to follow after the Lord Jesus. Now back to John chapter 3, and we'll look at the third part of that 19th verse. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Darkness speaks of its mental, its moral darkness. Men's very nature is to be naturally sinful. Man's apart from God. And listen to the description that the Scripture gives us through different Scripture verses of the condition of man: depraved, superstitious, ignorant, blinded. all of us know a lot of folks that are very religious, never miss being in church, but they've missed the light. They've missed the light. And we all know folks that seem to be very smart, very successful. When it comes to God, this is what God tells us that they are. That's who they are without Jesus. That's who they are. Depraved, superstitious, ignorant, blinded, and they're blinded by the God of this age, of this world. Superstition today is becoming greater and greater. People love things of witchcraft and devil worship. And the latest of the Harry Potter movies. You know, I love that. This is the last and final one. And then a year later, this is the last and final one. And then the next, this is the last and final one. So now, who believes them? Number one, they're liars to start with. You know why they keep making the last one, the last and the last one? Because each one of them keep making more and more money. And this last weekend, the last Harry Potter movie broke any record. I can't tell you how many millions of dollars was made one night. How much? 92 million. Couldn't live on that. Well, maybe in a year. That's right. Why? Because of the superstition. People love that. People love that. That is a demon-driven movie from day one. Why has it become so popular? You see the lines? You know, some of them stayed for 2 days so they could get into the movie house the first time. And it showed at midnight. And it was full. Why? Demons, my friend. Demons. Superstition. And people love it. That's their heart. That's their heart. They need the Lord Jesus. They must have the Lord Jesus. Let's go to see how God looks at man. And let's go to Romans. Not very far. Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read 10 verses. And there are 14 indictments against man that are listed in these 10 verses. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Now I'm going to read down through the 20th verse, and then I will list those 14 indictments that God speaks of here. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongue they have used deceit. The poise of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now let me read for you, if you want to underline them, you can, the 14 indictments that are listed. The first one is in verse 10, none righteous. The next is in verse 11. The second one is none that understandeth. The third is none that seeketh after God. The fourth is in verse 12, all are gone out of the way. The fifth, they are together become unprofitable. The sixth, there is none that doeth good. The seventh, no, not one. The eighth, their throat is an open sepulcher. Nine, their tongues, they have used deceit. The tenth, whose mouth is full of cursing. And the eleventh is and bitterness. The twelfth, their feet are swift to shed blood. The 13th, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the 14th, the way of peace. The way of peace have they not known. And then that was the 14 indictments that God has brought before. And then the 18th verse, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That word fear is terror. They should be horrified of the living God because of who they are and what they are. And that's a person that doesn't believe, that does not believe. With that in mind, please go back with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. And I want you to see this scripture verse. God has put us in our place in Romans chapter 3. But in Isaiah, we have a beautiful promise. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's our condition. That's what we are. However, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. So you see, we go from being condemned in that verse to the hope of salvation because of what Jesus has done. What a wonderful verse of Scripture, Isaiah 53, 6. We're not going to turn back for time, but let me take you back to Genesis. Back to the creation. God created man his own image. Number one. God gave man a perfect wife. Number two. The next, God took these two and placed them in a perfect garden, the Garden of Eden. Perfect garden. Adam was given clear instructions on what to do and what not to do. He did not have 10 commandments of what not to do. He had one. One. Do not eat of the tree. Period. Specified, showed him the tree. We know the rest of the story. Eve ate, Adam ate. The next thing we know, that they're out sowing fig leaves together. That's the first religion. That's even before Cain and Abel. They decided to cover themselves with their own works, their own ways, and that was the first religion. This is good enough. Now, let's back up just a little bit. Why did God put that tree in the garden? Because he wanted even the first two to serve him by their own will. He wanted them to follow him and praise him and worship him because they chose to. Let's look at the second choice they had. They'd already gathered their own religion with the fig leaves. And then here comes God. And he has this bloody coats of skins of the sheep that God himself had slaughtered. And he put those bloody coats upon Adam and Eve. They had a second choice to receive those coats. Salvation that God has given. So yes, they made a choice to not follow him, to be disobedient. But God gave him another choice to come away from that condemnation and be saved and serve him and praise him. And every man has the same choice that Adam and Eve has. And then God went further and he drove man out of the Garden of Eden because he did not want them to eat of the tree of life, because if they would have never died. And I look at Mr. Youngmeyer and laying there in that hospital bed. And do you know if they would have eaten of that tree of life, that even though he could have possessed salvation, he could have never gotten out of this body? Death is a victory. Death gets us away from this old body that's wore out and deteriorated. It's going to be a graduation time for him. And if God would not have closed them out of that garden, put that cherubim there and that flaming sword there, and man would have went in, and you know they would have. They would have went right back in and ate of that tree. And then death would not have been a choice. We've never gotten out of this old body. What a horrible time that would be. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Every unbeliever, every person not born again, hates the gospel, hates what Jesus has done for them, and loves this old world. This old world's about this long. God calls it a vapor in relationship to eternity. So you may have all kinds of fun and enjoyment in this life. You better. Because the next is going to be hell. Lake of fire for eternity. Condemned already? Or not condemned? Adam and Eve went from not condemned to condemned already to not condemned. You and I don't have that first choice. We weren't put in a perfect environment. We were born in sin. But there's one reason why you are condemned already. And there's only one reason. And that is because you refuse the light of Jesus. He refused the light of Jesus. And you know, when we're looking at this and we see this light come, and just picture, here comes Nicodemus. He comes up to Jesus. He sees Jesus. Well, let's use the old, you know, boy, stay with me here, because it's not going to be long. We're not going to have this anymore, our incandescent light bulbs, you know. And so, you know, we're doomed. But you get the old three-way light bulb. All right. Nicodemus walked into the presence of Jesus. That's the light. It's not real bright. Then Jesus spoke. The light got brighter. Then Nicodemus accepts. The light is bright. And so please, as Jesus spoke to your heart this morning, do you see that light? Do you see the Lord Jesus? Are we to stage two? Now let's just click that switch one more time. One more time. So that you see the full light of Jesus and ask him into your heart to save you. Please, trust in Jesus today. Let's close with prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll take these simple words, the words of being condemned or not condemned. Please just help anyone here that does not know you as their Savior, not tarry, but come today. I remember clearly the day I met Jesus. Father, I remember clearly the day I met your Son and I trusted him as my Savior. That day I've never forgotten. A day that your word just continued to convict my heart. I saw the light and I accepted the light. I believed. And now all these years, I have enjoyed that light. I can't imagine, Father, what it's like to walk in darkness. But there's a multitude of folks that do. And Father, you know who's here that is walking in darkness, needs your light. So please let that light shine today and let them hear and see, trust in you today, please. Father, grow each one of us that we be good witnesses and giving out your testimony and telling people about the Lord Jesus. Giving out our witness of what you've done for us. Please, speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.